the Lord help us to commence his worship by singing hymn number 2. Lord, raise my soul above the ground, and draw my thoughts to thee. Teach me with sweet and solemn sound to praise the eternal three. Hymn number 2. From the Word of God out of the second epistle of Paul to Timothy, reading chapters 3 and 4. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Minos, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. The Lord bless unto us the reading of his holy word, and help us at the throne of grace. O thou great, just, eternal God, wilt thou remember, Lord, that we are poor and needy souls. Lord, have compassion upon us. May our very case this night yet plead for mercy too. May it touch the heart of Christ, or that he might have such a feeling for all our infirmities. And Lord, we pray that as he once had compassion on the multitude who had continued with him, so tonight there might be those here who in some measure could say that they have continued, though they feel, Lord, in themselves that they fail, they come short, they feel to be missing and wanting that real blessing, that mercy and grace. Lord, then have compassion upon us. Oh, remember us then, and help us. We do pray that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, now also, to draw nigh, to make thy presence known. Oh, Lord, do come and entertain us. May it be, Lord, that thou wilt so bless the word of God to that end, that our ears may be really opened and our hearts attentive, and that, Lord, we may feel something of the power of the word, the divine unction, to feel something, Lord, of the great blessing of the word, so that we may feel our hearts indeed are made to burn and made to run and to seek after. Oh, that thou wilt come, Lord, now, even to us, and help, Lord. Oh, we do pray that thou wilt solemnize our minds in the portion we have read. For, Lord, it is a solemn description of the day in which we live. What a falling away. What a turning out of the way. But yet, Lord, oh, may it please thee to show unto us that way and to bind our hearts unto it. May our ears be bored to the doorpost of thy truth, that we may never depart from it. But rather, Lord, oh, may the truth make us free. Oh, we pray that thou wilt give that understanding in thy truth and give that grace that we may love thy word, thy truth. So come now unto us. Oh, but we do pray, Lord, that tonight thou wilt now be pleased, Lord, to remove all those things of the day, the pressing scenes and cares, the trials, the difficulties, many things, Lord, which now seem, as it were, to so draw our hearts and minds away. But may we find, Lord, that these things are taken away, that we might then, Lord, come, and like one of old, be favoured to sit at thy feet. Lord, may it be our sacred portion tonight to really sit there by precious faith, to sit there, Lord, in hearing the word, and to feel, Lord, something of our own heart and soul, so drawn, enlivened, to feel something, Lord, of that gracious feeding there, an enlightening of our eyes. Oh, Lord, bless the word to that end, and teach us. Surely thou knowest, Lord, those here tonight whose heart aches and longs for real things, for a blessing indeed, for help, the help of God. They long, Lord, for that seal of pardon to their soul, the forgiveness of their sins. They long, Lord, for that revelation of Christ made known to them, that they might have a glimpse of the King, and that they, O Lord, may feel that he has made their King. Oh, that thou wilt bless then each soul, Lord. Oh, come, Lord, and do unite our hearts unto thy truth. May there be, Lord, that heavenly principle. May the Spirit of God be given. He who takes the hearts of thy people and raises them up and makes them sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, Lord, we pray that he may do so for us this night. So come then and bless. Remove, Lord, the vain thoughts. Remove, especially, Lord, those thoughts, hard thoughts of God, the wrong thoughts that so often fill us with such darkness. Oh, have mercy then upon us, and pity us, we pray. We do humbly ask, O God, that thou remember yet each one who's turned in. We would pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless the dear children, Lord, as they are brought. And that's all parents can do is bring them, exhort them. But, Lord, we pray that thou wilt also do for them that which thou dost for thy people. That thou wilt yet show, Lord, that even to such is the kingdom of God. Wonderful truth, Lord, we thank thee for it. And we do pray that our dear little ones, children, might be blessed indeed, and that there might be formed in their heart something of Christ, the hope of glory. Give unto them, Lord, that fear of God, a holy fear, a tender fear, a living fear. Bless them, Lord, with it, for we beseech thee. And while indeed, Lord, there are those things, many things, which now as yet they cannot grasp nor understand. Yet, Lord, may the day come when they too may be favoured to truly know whom they might believe. Oh, bless them, we pray then. Remember, Lord, all in the midst of life and all its needs, its burdens, the busy scenes, Lord. Oh, they come in, they press upon us. Oh, how they draw us away. Oh, Lord, now come upon over all these things, these many mountains. Oh, be unto us, Lord, that hart or young roe skipping over them. Oh, help us, we pray. Oh, remember us then, Lord, in our needs. Oh, condescend, Lord, to subdue our sin. Take away the love of sinning. Oh, we do pray that we may feel that real shame and godly sorrow. Leave us not, Lord, to harden our heart to that solemn state. Oh, what a judgment it is. Have mercy upon us then. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt yet also make known to us something of the love of Christ. Oh, shine upon us, we pray. Lord, remember yet the need of Zion. And do bless, Lord, and do yet appear. For Zion is brought so low. Oh, there's a need, Lord, for the gathering of lambs into the fold, that there might be an increasing of the kingdom of God. There's a need, Lord, of those lambs to be taught, strengthened, fed, and built up. And then, Lord, oh, that need, that there might be those who shall then go forth in that way of thy commandment. And, oh, Lord, especially as it pertains to the preaching of the word. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that there might be yet the directing of hearts of those, Lord, called by grace and called to that ministry, called to the work. May there be a burden that's laid. May they, Lord, be found much, Lord, in prayer. Oh, that there might be, Lord, even now, that preparation in the heart, the word of God laid there, deep and truth, Lord, brought. Oh, may there be an establishing of the souls of such, Lord, in the doctrines, the gracious building up. And then, Lord, oh, may there be that time when they must go forth. But give thy people, Lord, that stirring and that exercise, that prayer, that thou wilt thrust them out, Lord. Oh, wilt thou yet have mercy and do bless, Lord. Remember yet thy servants. We think especially the pastor at Grand Rapids. Oh, thou knowest, Lord, his weakened state and all his need. But we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt also cause that his heart, his soul, may be strengthened in the Lord. That as the outward man perisheth, the inner man may be renewed. And, oh, Lord, may there be something of that divine surety with him and a manifestation of it, that he might declare yet right to the end of the love of God, the mercy of God, the great expectation that God gives. Oh, help him then. Do remember us as we journey that way, Lord, in the coming day. We do pray that thou wilt be our help. Direct all the way. Go before us, Lord. Oh, thou knowest all the many needs. Thou knowest how we feel to need wisdom and understanding. We need grace, Lord. Oh, help us. Guide and direct. But do remember the dear friends here as they remain behind. Be with those who carry on in our absence. Help them each taking their part. May they do it, Lord, in felt weakness, true dependence. And may there be, Lord, prayer for them. But, oh, Lord, bless the means. Bless the word of the sermons read. Oh, give that grace. And thou knowest, Lord, how those who carry on feel in themselves to be so insufficient, so unable. But we pray, oh God, that thou wilt be their help. And may it be, Lord, that in the appointed time, upon our return, if it be thy will, we may be able to rehearse something of the goodness of the Lord, and mercies and divine favour. Oh, hear us now, Lord, we pray, and help, and remember many others, Lord, in their afflictions, infirmities, the old nature and the old man being taken down. But, oh, Lord, do grant there might be that right preparation and a good hope through grace. Oh, do bless. Remember all with various trials, conflicts, temptations. We do pray, O God, that thou wilt sanctify such things unto them, that they may, Lord, yet see that day when the Lord has made them overcomers. Oh, bless them, we pray. And now, Lord, do forgive the sins of our thoughts and word and deed, the sins of our heart, the sins of our minds, the sins of our tongue. Oh, thou seest them all, Lord. Do wash us in that precious blood. Oh, we thank thee, we bless thee for the fountain, that heavenly fountain, for all the power of it. We thank thee, Lord, for the surety of it. Oh, then, Lord, hear us, and do accept our thank offerings too, for mercies granted and comforts given still. We ask that thou wilt now receive us in that name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Let us continue by singing hymn number 666. With great and awful power, Jesus the Judge shall come to bid his foes depart and take his children home. How will the wicked quake in fear when they before him must appear? Hymn 666. Seeking the Lord's gracious help, I direct your thoughts this evening hour to the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and reading the first clause of verse 29. 1 Corinthians 7, the first clause of verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. As we are reading that second epistle of Timothy this evening, those third and fourth chapters, where we have Paul going over and rehearsing so many of the different places and the brethren in those places, I couldn't help but think with what affection and tenderness and loving concern the apostle wrote as he thought of them all. And how too he must have had such a profound sense of what little time he had with them. It went so quick. It passed by and was gone. Oh, then to think this, oh, so it is with us. What a little time we have. A little time to truly seek the Lord. Such a little time to profess His name. Such a little time to honor Him. Such a little time to pray. The time is short. And oh, as the apostle was coming to the end, he realized not only was it short, but it was so fleeting. It was so quick. We have spoken much upon that. We've heard many sermons upon that. Do not really need to enlarge upon it. But I want to come, with God's help this evening, to consider this word in a few different aspects. First, the time past of our lives. To realize, as Paul writes here, the time is short. Secondly, the time present of our lives. The time is short. Thirdly, the time future of our lives. And we'll look at what we might draw some understanding of from that, and then see something of the time itself. The time past. We all have a time past right now. The little ones. As we came in the chapel door this evening, the little baby in his little cart. It comes to me, it just hit me. He has a time past already. He hasn't a long life yet, but he's got a time past already. Some of you dear children, you are older. You have a time past. Many of us are much older. And all the times past of our lives. But oh, to come to that realization that the disciples did on that occasion when the Lord had been preaching to the multitude for some time, through the whole day. And finally, as the evening drew on, and we are told that in the Gospel of Matthew, and when evening drew on, the disciples said to the Lord, "The time is past. The hours of the day are past. They're gone, they're over." And oh, as I thought of that this evening, or of meditation this afternoon, oh, depend, think of that. We've had how many days in our lives, but the time is past. The hours of the day are gone, this present day. And soon all the days. The time is so short. Oh, what a need be for us to lay it to heart and to consider. As those disciples did, they were concerned. The multitude needed food. And they thought that the Lord should now stop and send them home. Well, we know, of course, what the Lord did. He provided for them there. But oh, different the lesson to be drawn. The day is all done. Then you think, so you've had certain days. Well, when I think of our dear age friends, the days of your labor, perhaps, in a measure, they're done. That is where you labored, for either in your business or in another business. That may be done. No more. But oh, different, what about the day of grace? Be awful if that was done for you or I. Bless God, it isn't done yet. It is a day of grace. But that the time will come when it will be said of that. The day is over. Oh, how short a time it is that we have a day of grace. A day of grace wherein we may seek the Lord. Oh, that day when we might be helped to do so. See, there's so many sermons about that day of grace and seeking the Lord, but I tell you, dear friend, there's one thing that's missing in so many of the sermons. That's the help of God that's needed to do it. No man can do it by himself. And ministers preach as if it's in men's power to do it. Sad deceivers. We now must warn of that day. The day that we now have. A day that will soon be over. Oh, this day. And that day, dear friend, when the Lord brings all the history of the world to its close. And that day is indeed over. That day when he who now sits on a throne of grace shall be removed to the throne of judgment. Oh, the time is short. Dear friend, if we really knew, we don't see it, do we? And because we can't see it, we cannot really lay it to heart. How short a time it will be when he will depart from the mercy seat and sit on that throne of judgment. Oh, this day, this time past. Oh, well, then does the apostle here speak, this I say, brethren, the time is short. He himself felt it keenly. He found in so many aspects of his own life, there was a time that was short. When I think again of the apostle speaking of this time, when he was writing to the Galatians, he referred to a time past for himself. In the first chapter, for you have heard of my conversation in time past, in the Jewish religion. And what was that conversation? The word conversation there, his works. his deeds, his acts, for the sake of our young children, our young friends. So often in the Word of God, when we have that conversation, it speaks of the whole of one's life, not just the words of the mouth, but all things that make up our life, the things that we think, the things that we say, the things that we do. This is our conversation. When we think, when we read of the Paul writing to the Hebrews, for our conversation is in heaven. That means that their affections were there, their hopes were there. But here Paul speaks now, you have heard of my conversation. Oh, the report of it had gone out, not just amongst the Jews, but now in all the Gentile churches. You see, these unbelieving Jews, these haters of the Christian religion, these despisers of that grace, they who came wherever Paul went to preach, they followed. And what was it that they did? They gave such an evil report against Paul, so that those who had listened to him wouldn't really believe. Still the same today. There are those who would do that. We needn't be surprised if there's an evil report raised up against us. And that's what the enemy does. He's done it from the beginning. Oh, let us not be surprised if he comes at us then. Ye have heard of my conversation in time past, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Oh, but Paul could look back now and thank God that that time, though it was awful, was short. The time passed. In comparison to the whole scheme of divine purposes, it was short. Yet Paul would have thought, well, it was too long if it had been only a day. But still short. Here now the apostle comes and say in the same word in essence then, for the time past is short. But not only was it what he himself said of himself regarding that time and that day, but he speaks further of the Galatians themselves, of how that they too once were in such a state. When he writes in the 5th chapter of the epistle, when he speaks unto them, the works of the flesh. And he goes through the whole list of these works. And he comes to the 21st verse. Envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past. Well, he comes now to them. I've told you these things already, but I would tell you again. The time past I spoke of them. Nothing has changed. This is what you were. This is what we are. I've told you in time past. Oh, I take something of a wonderful instruction there for the servants of God, for the Lord's people. You may, parents, you may tell your children in times past, but let you don't think that's sufficient. Tell them again. That's what the apostle was doing here. I've told you in time past, I tell you now. These awful things, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They cannot enter in. Oh, dear friend, this is where the apostle would have these Galatians come to in their knowledge. But you see then when he writes to the Ephesians, he reminds them of something of their past, wherein in time past ye walked. Now, dear friend, how many here tonight can that be said of? You see, if you and I are still walking in those things, then there's no time past yet, is there? were in them that the very things that we were in from the beginning. From the day of our birth right up to present. What an awful thing that is, if that is so. There's yet no time passed in that spiritual sense. Oh, may God help us to understand that this evening. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. Oh, young or old, if we're still walking according to the course of this world, then we're still in that time. And there's nothing past. We are as yet as we were born, without God and without Christ in the world. Oh, but are there those here tonight? And I do believe there are. You have a time past in this. The time past was short. Oh, you think, it was a long time, really. But oh, different, think of it. In the light of eternity, oh, how short it really was. That time that you were left to go your way, left to do your own wicked ways. But now to the time past. He once walked in that way. He once did that which still works in the children of disobedience. Oh, this time past. Again in the 11th verse of the same chapter, he puts it this way, wherefore remember that being in time past Gentiles. Striking word that. In time past, ye were Gentiles in the flesh. But now, they were true Israelites in the spirit. Oh, the time passed. Oh, brethren, the time is short. Oh, blessed be God that there is such a time where he makes that change. And come, when I think again of this time past, how it is set before us in that description that Paul gave to Philemon of his servant Onesimus. You remember when he sent him back to Philemon and told him to receive him as himself, who in time past to thee was an unprofitable servant. Now, dear friend, can you tonight come say that before the Lord, in times past I was an unprofitable servant. Oh, you serve sin, the flesh, the world, your carnal nature. What an unprofitable servant. Ah, it might be those who know a little of grace, something of the fear of God. You feel yet you are so unprofitable. Oh, this is your distress, this is your grief. What sorrow it brings. Oh, that you might be much more profitable. The time is short. Oh, that God might truly come and turn us from these things. That we should no longer be unprofitable in that awful sense. I say, dear friend, you may feel it, but the very sense that you feel it in our grief and sorrow over it, dear friend, there's your something of profit. Oh, this time past, when we're unprofitable. Peter speaks of it, which in time past you were not a people, but are now the people of God. Oh, brethren, the time is short. The time that one might be a child of God, oh, defend that, is a wonderful thing. Because there will be no end to that. No, death won't put an end to that. You see, Devin, the time short was the time of unregeneracy, the time when we were not that people. when we did not follow Him, when we cared nothing for Him. Oh, I ask tonight, so, is there something of that change in our heart? Can you say tonight that you cannot go to that far any longer, can't you? Oh, there's not much you may be able to say yet, much you may be afraid to say yet, but can you at least come here that, it is of great importance to you. There is a great concern in your soul regarding that you are one of His people. I say, brethren, that the time is short. It is indeed past. Oh, when Peter was speaking in his first epistle, he's better get speak again, that the time pass of our lives to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. See, everything time passed, different. It has to deal with the Gentile state, the unconverted state, the unbelieving state, the corrupt state. Oh, the time is short and all that. But now let's come to consider secondly something of the time present. Oh, different, what a thing to have a time present. I say, brethren, the time is short. Now the time present. Oh, when we think of this time present, when we come to this time present, my mind goes to that word we have in the Gospel of Luke, the 18th chapter there, where we have this written, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time? Not even here. This present time. They'll be receiving. Who is the Lord speaking of? He's speaking of those who follow Him and fear Him. The disciples had just said, Lord, we have left all and followed Thee. Ah, He says, I tell you, there is no man that hath left house, parents, brethren, a wife, or children for the kingdom of God, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time. This short time, there'll be a receiving. Oh, it may seem a paradox. It may seem so completely opposite of what you might feel and think. I say, dear friend, there's so many times when a tender, fearing child of God feels that he doesn't have, he comes short, he's missing so much yet. But the day will come when understanding will be enlightened, when he shall see and understand clearly, and he will behold the many things the Lord did give, that his eyes weren't open to see, his understanding wasn't able to grasp yet. We're but children still. Dear friend, God will not be a liar to that word. There's no man that has left house, parents, brethren, or wife, or children for my sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time. Short though it is. And in the world to come, life everlasting. Oh, think so. The time is short. Even this present time that the Lord gives, a present time in seeking Him, in following Him, in yielded to Him, obedient to Him, the time is short. Soon will be past. All will be over and done. When Paul was writing to the Hebrews, he touched on something of this again in the 9th chapter of that epistle, which was a figure for the time then present. Now, different. What's he speaking of here? He's speaking of the blessing of an entrance into the tabernacle of old, a figure for the time then present, in which were offered gifts and sacrifices that could not make the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Oh, in that time state, nothing would make them perfect. But, oh, there was that time, that the present time, a time yet to come. Oh, what a perfection that would be brought to those who fear God. They would see the glory of God in making all things according to His will. He brings His people in to that truth. The time is short. Oh, but in this present time, Paul writing to the Romans speaks, for I am persuaded that the sufferings of this present time. Now it is so that that's a description of our present state. It's a state of suffering. The Lord has designed it should be so. In this world ye shall have tribulation, suffering. Ah, says Paul, I'm persuaded that the sufferings of this present time cannot be compared. Paul knew sufferings as much as any man. Oh, the things he had to endure. The Lord had told him, I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. The sufferings of this present time. It was short. Paul was convinced of that. Oh, when he had a view of what would follow. That is why we so often, those who would fear God, get into such a state of unbelief. Such a state where we are so often perplexed because we fail to see that which is beyond. We have such a little glimpse of the great eternity. The things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Oh, no wonder then, under these times of suffering, we conclude completely contrary to what God has intended. When David speaks, I shall one day perish by the hand of Saul. David, it's a present time. Short. It's not going to last. When Jacob speaks, all these things are against me. Jacob, it's a present time. It will be finished shortly. And oh, so you can add your little time and your things and your statements. Your hard thoughts of God. It's a short time. We do need to understand, we need grace to rightly perceive these things. Oh, the present time, how short. Remember when Paul wrote in the second epistle to these Corinthians, he put it this way in the fourth chapter there, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, a present time. First, dear friend, they don't seem so light often, do they? They seem to have such an awful weight. And they don't seem to be just but for a moment. Not while we're in them. But Paul puts it down by the Holy Spirit. There's divine teaching there too. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh forth a far more and exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the time is short. Oh, dear soul, what it may be you have now before you. What distress, what conflict, what trial, what great perplexities, what persecutions perhaps. Oh, whatever it may be, that seems so troubling and so grievous, but for a short time. Ah. Oh. See what Paul speaks here about this present state. In the verses following our text, first he speaks of marriage. That this is a present time. But very soon, it remaineth that both they that had wives be as though they had none. It will be all be done. It will be forgotten. It will be past. Those that had children as though they had none. All that's of earth is done. It's cut off. And over. This is present time. It's short. Or again, he speaks in this way. And they that had sorrow, he puts it in they that weep, as though they wept not. But a short time. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Oh, those that are called to walk in the path of sorrow so much here below, but for a present time. Ah, brethren, Paul speaks, the time is short. That you're called to bear that distress, to feel all those physical ailments. The time is short in it. And friends, I do not in any way endeavor to think that I can make friends who've had great sicknesses think it's been short. Perhaps you've been a long time in it. But I bring forth a word this evening for myself, for you. Because there's so many things that we get so pressed down by, troubled with, burdened in. The time is short. Not only is it that they will not, well, there will be as those that had did not have wives, those that had do not sorrow, that sorrow will be gone. But then he speaks as well. And they that rejoice, as though they rejoice not. And they that buy, as though they possess not. Now, the rejoicing here is not speaking about those that rejoice in the Lord. Because that won't be done. But this rejoicing is of an earthly rejoicing. It's carnal rejoicing. It's pleasure. It's the sinful pleasure rejoicing. It's the rejoicing of all the ungodly. As though they rejoice not. Very shortly. The time is short. Oh, this is what Paul now sets before us here then in this word. And the same with those that buy. They buy up all their possessions. But the time is short. And they will be as they bought not. They will lose it all. Oh, what a lesson Paul here has now for these at Corinth. For us today as well. Oh, here the friend he comes in. And again he speaks for the fashion of this world. Notice that word too. In verse 31. For the fashion of this world passeth away. The time is short. What of the fashion of this world? Well, first of all, we might speak of it as that mortal state. This mortal body is the fashion of this world. It's going to be changed for those who fear God. Completely altered. But the fashion of this world passeth away. We have this mortal body, but for a brief time. Or if it's not the mortal body, the mortal breath, if you want to put it that way, then it's the material stage as well. The fashion of this world. All these things which are material. It's the fashion of this world. They too pass away. I say, brethren, the time is short. It will be soon done. The way of the earth. That's the fashion of this world. The way of the earth itself. It will be finished. Oh, what a lesson is in this word that the apostle speaks here. But now, we come lastly to consider something of that time future. Of that time too, it must be said that the time is short. The uncertainty of it. What remains uncertain today will be unfolded tomorrow. Just a short while. Or it may be so that you have in your path many things, and it seems nothing is clear, and it seems like it's going to be a long time before you ever will see it clear. But I tell you, different, it won't be in the end. The days will hasten on. The times will unfold. Oh, these days will be... Think of that word of the Lord Jesus again when he was speaking of the solemn end. That time that we read in the third chapter of the second epistle of Timothy this evening. The perilous times that shall come. The Lord said those days will be shortened. It will be shortened. Oh, the time is short. So now, the Lord is shortening the days, to be sure. Here in that present state, there are no things which are ahead. You see, so often when we look at time ahead, it seems so long. And the prospect of it. If you have a prospect of some, I think sometimes when we make, I might just speak of when we make plans for the visiting minister. Sometimes that's done almost a year and a half in advance. And we talk about it and I say, it just seems so long away. It does then. And the prospect of something. Well, I think of a young couple where they become engaged and they set the wedding date and it seems such a long way off when they first set it, but the time is short. While so much seems long in the prospect, different in the retrospect, how short. And oh, the experience of everyone will testify to that. Oh, the time future. However long things might seem to be in the anticipation, the waiting, the longing. But oh, different, it will come. And in looking back, it will be so short. For the time past. Oh, when we think again of the time. I think of that case of Esther. There was a time in Israel's history when they were in deep trouble. The sentence of death was upon them. And her uncle told her what she must do. And he warned her that if she did not act, then salvation would come unto the Jews from another source, and she would bring shame upon her father's house. And then he brought this word to, but thou art come to the throne for such a time as this. Now, dear friend, we come to that for a moment. For such a time as this. Oh, there's time right now for such a time. This is the time that we have. This is the time that must be used. This is the time that we must pray over and wait on God for and seek Him. Oh, the time that's now given for such a time as this. Oh, but all could be brought in for our instruction on that point, such a time as this. And what about you tonight, soul? Are there matters? Are there those things which have come into your case, in your path? And there are things that you ought to do such a time as this. The old flesh might be fighting against it, but for such a time as this. I don't have anything in mind, dear friend. I'm speaking as something as the Lord lays it in my mind. The Lord direct the word. The time is short. Oh, it will be short. And soon will be done. Now, as I come to a conclusion tonight, I will tell you how this word came to me. Yesterday, today, we have had calls from Grand Rapids that our dear friend Pastor Seehower is nearing the end. I had a call from the home, the ladies in charge, to inform me, and a call from one of the friends today to say how low he is. I sensed it before, and the last while nowadays he wasn't able to even talk for but a few minutes on the phone. And when he did, all he was saying is, "Come quickly, Lord, come quickly." I told him on Friday that, last Friday, that I hoped to see him this week, coming Friday. And the friend that visited him today, we understand he told them that he doesn't think that he'll live till I get there. He doesn't know. But we sense that the time is now short. For him here below. But what a warning to us all. It is very short. I keep going back to our dear friend in September. The time is short. Oh, there's a warning in these things, a voice in them. May God help us to hear. May He help us to believe. May He help us to seek His name for His name's sake. Let's continue by singing hymn number 498. Time, what an empty vapor 'tis. And days, how swift they are. Swift as an Indian arrow flies, or like a shooting star. Hymn 498. we do pray that thou wilt grant thy blessing upon the word of God, and forgive all thou hast seen amiss. Take us now on to our homes in peace, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, abide with us. Amen.